and made sure that we all had the right to vote. We are not going back. For the mamas and grandmamas who marched to make sure that women could control our own bodies, we are not going back. For the parents who work from can't see in the morning until can't see at night, not so that they will have a better future, but so that their children will have a better life. We are not going back. When facing an obstacle, my father has often said to me, "Your faith is stronger than your fears." Tonight, our faith is stronger than our fears. Faith in the promise of America, faith in the American idea, in the American values that we share, faith that we, the people, can choose a new leader, a better future for the people. Faith that as dark as our days and challenges have sometimes felt, it's always darkest before the dawn. We know that we can endure for a night because joy cometh in the morning. Morning is coming. Morning is coming, and that joy will be led by Kamala Harris. Thank you so much.
Please welcome Mesa, Arizona Mayor John Giles.
Good evening. I have a confession to make. I'm a lifelong Republican. So I feel a little out of place tonight, but I feel more at home here than in today's Republican Party. The grand old party has been kidnapped by extremists and devolved into a cult, the cult of Donald Trump. Trump doesn't know the first thing about public service. Like a child, he acts purely out of self-interest. We all need an adult in the White House, and we've seen what happens when we don't have one. Trump made a lot of lofty promises: unlimited economic growth, American manufacturing reborn, a secure border. Turns out Donald Trump was all talk. He wanted our votes, but he couldn't deliver a thing. But these days, my city of Mesa, Arizona is on the move. I'm going to ribbon cuttings every single week, all because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris reached across the aisle and they delivered for my conservative community and countless more across the country. My hero, John McCain, taught us to put country over party. And that's how Vice President Harris and Governor Walz will lead too. I have an urgent message for the majority of Americans who, like me, are in the political middle. John McCain's Republican Party is gone, and we don't owe a damn thing to what's been left behind. So let's turn the page. Let's put country first. Let's put adults in the room where our country deserves. Thank you.
It was our dream to have a large family.
Being a parent, it's the most important thing in my life.
For decades, Americans have turned to the miracle of IVF treatments.
She felt like a dream come true.
The fact that she was able to build a family, that's why I do what I do.
Without IVF, I don't know how this would have been possible.
IVF treatment gives many patients an opportunity to have a family.
I love that I get to help people every day become parents.
But a party that pretends to be pro-family wants to put a stop to this. They are attacking the right to expand and start a family.
It's unthinkable.
They may never have the family that they've dreamt of.
In the U.S. Senate,
Republicans blocked a Democratic bill that would have established protections for in vitro fertilization.
Mr. Vance, no.
If Republicans actually cared as much about protecting IVF, this would have been a simple yes vote.
Family means support.
To me, family is your whole world. It's the life that you build.
IVF made my family.
It made my heart whole.
It made my life full.
It made my life full.
And it made my life full.
And we will always fight for you, for your family, for your freedoms, and for your future.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz honor the freedoms of all families to make decisions about what is right for them, for this generation and generations to come.
Please welcome Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth.
I went to war to protect America's rights and freedoms. So I take it personally when a five-time draft-dodging coward like Donald Trump tries to take away my rights and freedoms in return, especially when it concerns my daughters. My girls, gamer girl Abigail and queen of the monkey bars, Miley, are everything to me. But they would never have been born without access to reproductive care. Because after 10 years of struggling with infertility, I was only able to have them through the miracle of IVF. But now, Trump's anti-woman crusade has put other Americans' right to have their own families at risk. Because if they win, Republicans will not stop at banning abortion. They will come for IVF next. They'll prosecute doctors. They will shame and spy on women. And if you think that's far-fetched, just look up what happened in Alabama last year. So let me say to every would-be parent, I see you, I'm with you. And together, in November, we'll send a message to old Cadet Bone Spurs. Stay out of our doctor's offices, and while you're at it, out of the Oval Office, too. Look, my struggle with infertility was more painful than any wound I earned on the battlefield. So how dare a convicted felon like Donald Trump treat women seeking health care like they're the ones breaking the law? How dare J.D. Vance criticize childless women on cable news, then vote against legislation that would have actually helped Americans to start families? How dare the GOP endanger the dreams of countless veterans whose combat wounds prevent them from having kids without IVF, punishing our heroes for their willingness to serve? It's simple. Every American deserves the right to be called mommy or daddy without being treated like a criminal. Kamala Harris believes that. So let's make some history and elect her in November. God bless America.
This is my dad, Doug. He was raised in Jersey and moved to LA when he was 16. These are his parents, Barb and Mike. They think he walks on water. This is what he wore to his bar mitzvah. And here's him at summer camp. They voted him most athletic, so he says. This is a photo McDonald's used when he was employee of the month. It hung on our wall for years. My dad is a lawyer, a really good one. My mom called him the crisis guy because he was everyone's first call. My parents split when I was in middle school, and that wasn't easy. That's not easy for any kid. But it helped that my parents stayed friends and we all kept hanging together. We grew closer than ever. And then he met Kamala, the blind date that would dramatically change all of our lives forever. It was my senior year of high school. Elle and I would laugh, watching them fall in love, acting like teenagers. In 2014, Kamala became Mamala. She took over Sunday night dinners and taught Doug how to actually cook. Our blended family wasn't used to politics or the spotlight, but when Kamala became senator, we were all excited to step up, especially my dad. Then Kamala became vice president. It felt like Doug was a bit out of place on Capitol Hill. I thought, what is my goofy dad doing here? But he embraced it. He left his practice after being a lawyer for 30 years. That was tough. I was so proud to watch him do it, to stand by her side, an example of true partnership. I just got married myself, and he's inspired me as a new husband. Anyone who really gets close to him knows he's kind, loving, and fiercely protective. I mean, just look at this face. This is my dad, the first second gentleman in the history of this nation. He's found his voice around the issues that matter to him.
You have no choice but to speak up and speak out.
There is an epidemic of hate, including a crisis of anti-Semitism in our country and around the world.
What they are doing on reproductive freedom and freedom in general is just outrageous.
And next, he's gonna make history again as the first gentleman. I can't wait for everyone to get to know why we all love him. He's the glue that keeps this family together. We might not look like other families in the White House, but we are ready to represent all families in America.
Please welcome my dad, the second gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff.
I guess he didn't want me to give this speech. He just... Thank you. Thank you so much. Hello. Thank you. Hello to my big, beautiful, blended family up there. I love you so much. Aren't you proud of Cole? Wow. And a special shout out to my mother. I see you. My mother is the only person in the whole world who thinks Kamala is the lucky one for marrying me. And to Kamala, who, well, we just saw where she is. She's out on the trail listening to and talking with voters. Honey, I can't wait for you to come back to Chicago because we're having a great time here. I love you so much. I'm so proud of how you're stepping up for all of us. But that's who she is. Wherever she's needed, however she's needed, Kamala rises to the occasion. And she did it for me and our family. And now that the country needs her, she's showing you what we already know. She's ready to lead. She brings both joy and toughness to this task, and she will be a great president we will all be proud of. Now, I'm the son of two Brooklynites, Mike and Barb. They've been together almost 70 years. My dad worked in the shoe business in Manhattan, and he moved our family out to New Jersey. Where's New Jersey? I see you out there when I was a little kid. And in a lot of ways, I had a typical Jersey suburban childhood. I biked around the neighborhood. I took the bus to Hebrew school. And I rode to Little League practice in the way back of my coach's wood-paneled station wagon. And if we did well, we got to have a Slurpee after. In my neighborhood, everyone left their garage door open. Wherever you ended up at dinner time, that's the family that fed you. Everyone took care of everyone else. And the guys I grew up with are still my best friends. The group chat is active every day, and it's probably blowing up right now, guys. When my dad had to get a new job, we moved across the country to LA. Money was tight. Hey, California. Money was tight, so I worked at McDonald's in high school for some extra cash. Not only was I employee of the month, but I still have the framed picture, which you just saw, and there was a ring, golden arches and all. And then I waited tables, parked cars. I was working full-time so I could afford to go to college part-time. And thanks to partial scholarships, student loans, and a little help from my dad, I got myself through law school. And I got my first job as a lawyer, which is also where I met the guys in my fantasy football league. And a lot has changed in our lives since the early 90s, but my team name is still Nirvana. Yes, after the band. I worked hard, and I love being a lawyer. And by the way, I still get to be part of the profession by teaching students at Georgetown Law School. I got married, became a dad to Cole and Ella. Unfortunately, I went through a divorce, but eventually started worrying about how I would make it all work. And that's when something unexpected happened. In 2013, I walked into a contentious client meeting. We worked through the issue, and by the end of the meeting, the now happy client offered to set me up on a blind date, which is how I ended up with Kamala Harris's phone number. Now, for generations, people have debated when to call the person you're being set up with. And never in history has anyone suggested 8:30 a.m. And yet, that's when I dialed. I got Kamala's voicemail, and I just started rambling. Hey, it's Doug. I'm on my way to an early meeting. Again, it's Doug. I remember I was trying to grab the words out of the air and just put them back in my mouth. And for what seemed like far too many minutes, I hung up. By the way, Kamala saved that voicemail. And she makes me listen to it on every anniversary. But that message wasn't the only unusual thing about that day. Now, Kamala, who normally would have been working hard at her office, just happened to be waiting at her apartment for a contractor to do some work on her kitchen. I was eating at my desk, which was not a regular occurrence for a busy lawyer like me who appreciated a good business lunch. But that's when she called me back. And we talked for an hour, and we laughed. Well, you know that laugh. I love that laugh. And maybe that counted as our first date. Or maybe it was that Saturday night when I picked her up and told her, buckle up, I'm a really bad driver. Because you can't hide anything from Kamala Harris, so you might as well own it. And as I got to know her better and just fell in love fast, I learned what drives Kamala. And it's what you've seen over these past 4 years, and especially these past 4 weeks. She finds joy in pursuing justice. She stands up to bullies just like my parents taught me to. And she likes to see people do well, but hates when they're treated unfairly. She believes this work requires a basic curiosity in just how people are doing. Her empathy is her strength. Over the past decade, Kamala has connected me more deeply to my faith, even though it's not the same as hers. She comes to synagogue with me for high holiday services, and I go to church with her for Easter. I get to enjoy her mom's chili relleno recipe every Christmas, and she makes a mean brisket for Passover. It brings me right back to my grandmother's apartment in Brooklyn. You know, the one with the plastic-covered couches. But Kamala has fought against anti-Semitism and all forms of hate her whole career. She's the one who encouraged me, a second gentleman, to take up that fight, which is so personal to me. And those of you who belong to blended families know that they can be a little complicated. But as soon as our kids started calling her Mamala, I knew we'd be okay. Ella calls us a three-headed parenting machine. Kamala and Kirsten, thank you both. Thank you both for always putting your family and the kids first. Now, Cole and Ella's friends knew that when they'd come over for Sunday dinner with Mamala, it was going to be real talk. In between taking cooking instructions, they'd have to answer questions about what problem they wanted to solve in the world. They learned that you've always got to be prepared because Kamala is going to prosecute the case. And in the same breath that Colin Greenlee told us that they were engaged, they asked Kamala to officiate their wedding. And in the same way that she always steps up when it matters, Kamala put so much time into those remarks, and she bound them in a book that matched her dark red dress, and then turned that into a gift for the happy couple. A few days ago, during this incredible time we're going through, there was a brief window when Kamala was back at home. And I saw her sitting on her favorite chair, and in the middle of a wild month, I just hoped that she was having a quiet moment to herself. But then I realized she was on the phone. And of course, my mind went to all the potential crises that the vice president could be dealing with. Was it domestic? Was it foreign? Was it campaign? I could see she was focused, and all I knew was that it must be something important And it turns out it was. Ella had called her. That's Kamala. That's Kamala. Those kids are her priorities, and that scene was a perfect map of her heart. She's always been there for our children, and I know she'll always be there for yours too. Kamala is a joyful warrior. It's doing for her country what she has always done for the people that she loves. Her passion will benefit all of us when she's our president. And here's the thing about joyful warriors. They're still warriors. And Kamala is as tough as it comes. Just ask the criminals, the global gangsters, and the witnesses before the Senate Judiciary Committee. She never runs from a fight. And she knows the best way to deal with a coward is to take him head on. Because we all know cowards are weak, and Kamala Harris can smell weakness. She doesn't tolerate any BS. You've all seen that look, and you know that look I'm talking about. That look is not just a meme. It reflects her true belief in honest and direct leadership. And it's also why she will not be distracted by nonsense. Kamala knows that in order to win, we cannot lose focus. America, in this election, you have to decide who to trust with your family's future. I trusted Kamala with our family's future. It was the best decision I ever made. This Thursday will be our 10th wedding anniversary, which I know it means I'm about to hear that embarrassing voicemail again. However, that's not all I'll be hearing. That same night, I'll be hearing my wife, Kamala Harris, accept your nomination for President of the United States. And with your help, she will lead with joy and toughness, with that laugh and that look, with compassion and conviction. She'll lead from the belief that wherever we come from, whatever we look like, we're strongest when we fight for what we believe in, not just against what we fear. Kamala Harris was exactly the right person for me at an important moment in my life. And at this moment in our nation's history, she is exactly the right president. Thank you so much.
Please welcome former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Wonderfully magical is in the air, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we're feeling it here in this arena, but it's spreading all across this country we love. A familiar feeling that's been buried too deep for far too long. You know what I'm talking about. It's the contagious power of hope. The anticipation, the energy, the exhilaration of once again being on the cusp of a brighter day. The chance to vanquish the demons of fear, division, and hate that have consumed us and continue pursuing the unfinished promise of this great nation, the dream that our parents and grandparents fought and died and sacrificed for. America, hope is making a comeback. To be honest, I am realizing that until recently, I have mourned the dimming of that hope. And maybe you've experienced the same feelings, that deep pit in my stomach, a palpable sense of dread about the future. And for me, that mourning has also been mixed with my own personal grief. The last time I was here in my hometown was to memorialize my mother, the woman who showed me the meaning of hard work and humility and decency, the woman who set my moral compass high and showed me the power of my own voice. Folks, I still feel her loss so profoundly. I wasn't even sure if I'd be steady enough to stand before you tonight, but my heart compelled me to be here because of the sense of duty that I feel to honor her memory and to remind us all not to squander the sacrifices our elders made to give us a better future. You see, my mom, in her steady, quiet way, lived out that striving sense of hope every single day of her life. She believed that all children, all people have value, that anyone can succeed if given the opportunity. She and my father didn't aspire to be wealthy. In fact, they were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed. They understood that it wasn't enough for their kids to thrive if everyone else around us was drowning. So my mother volunteered at the local school. She always looked out for the other kids on the block. She was glad to do the thankless, unglamorous work that for generations has strengthened the fabric of this nation, the belief that if you do unto others, if you love thy neighbor, if you work and scrape and sacrifice, it will pay off. If not for you, then maybe for your children or your grandchildren. You see, those values have been passed on through family farms and factory towns, through tree-lined streets and crowded tenements, through prayer groups and National Guard units and social studies classrooms. Those were the values my mother poured into me until her very last breath. Kamala Harris and I built our lives on those same foundational values. Even though our mothers grew up an ocean apart, they shared the same belief in the promise of this country. That's why her mother moved here from India at 19. It's why she taught Kamala about justice, about the obligation to lift others up, about our responsibility to give more than we take. She'd often tell her daughter, "Don't sit around and complain about things. Do something." So, with that voice in her head, Kamala went out and she worked hard in school, graduating from an HBCU, earning her law degree at a state school. And then she went on to work for the people, fighting to hold lawbreakers accountable, strengthening the rule of law, fighting to get folks better wages, cheaper prescription drugs, a good education, decent health care, child care, elder care. From a middle-class household, Kamala worked her way up to become Vice President of the United States of America. My girl, Kamala Harris, is more than ready for this moment. She is one of the most qualified people ever to seek the office of the presidency. And she is one of the most dignified. A tribute to her mother, to my mother, and to your mother too. The embodiment of the stories we tell ourselves about this country. Her story is your story. It's my story. It's the story of the vast majority of Americans trying to build a better life. Look, Kamala knows, like we do, that regardless of where you come from, what you look like, who you love, how you worship, or what's in your bank account, we all deserve the opportunity to build a decent life. All of our contributions deserve to be accepted and valued. Because no one has a monopoly on what it means to be an American. No one. Kamala has shown her allegiance to this nation, not by spewing anger and bitterness, but by living a life of service and always pushing the doors of opportunity open to others. She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business, or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. No. Put our heads down. We get to work. In America, we do something. And throughout her entire life, that's what we've seen from Kamala Harris. The steel of her spine, the steadiness of her upbringing, the honesty of her example, and yes, the joy of her laughter and her light. It couldn't be more obvious. Of the two major candidates in this race, only Kamala Harris truly understands the unseen labor and unwavering commitment that has always made America great. Now, unfortunately, we know what comes next. We know folks are going to do everything they can to distort her truth. My husband and I sadly know a little something about this. For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. Tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs. Look, it's his same old con. Doubling down on ugly, misogynistic, racist lies as a substitute for real ideas and solutions that will actually make people's lives better. Look, because cutting our health care, taking away our freedom to control our bodies, the freedom to become a mother through IVF like I did, those things are not going to improve the health outcomes of our wives, mothers, and daughters. Shutting down the Department of Education, banning our books, none of that will prepare our kids for the future. Demonizing our children for being who they are and loving who they love, look, that doesn't make anybody's life better. Instead, it only makes us small. And let me tell you this. Going small is never the answer. Going small is the opposite of what we teach our kids. Going small is petty, it's unhealthy, and quite frankly, it's unpresidential. So, why would any of us accept this from anyone seeking our highest office? Why would we normalize that type of backward leadership? Doing so only demeans and cheapens our politics. It only serves to further discourage good, big-hearted people from wanting to get involved at all. America, our parents taught us better than that, and we deserve so much better than that. That's why we must do everything in our power to elect two of those good, big-hearted people. There is no other choice than Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. No other choice. But as we embrace this renewed sense of hope, let us not forget the despair we have felt. Let us not forget what we are up against. Yes, Kamala and Tim are doing great now. We're loving it. They're packing arenas across the country. Folks are energized. We are feeling good. But remember, there are still so many people who are desperate for a different outcome, who are ready to question and criticize every move Kamala makes, who are eager to spread those lies, who don't want to vote for a woman, who will continue to prioritize building their wealth over ensuring that everyone has enough. So no matter how good we feel tonight or tomorrow or the next day, this is going to be an uphill battle. So folks, we cannot be our own worst enemies. No. See, because the minute something goes wrong, the minute a lie takes hold, folks, we cannot start wringing our hands. We cannot get a Goldilocks complex about whether everything is just right. And we cannot indulge our anxieties about whether this country will elect someone like Kamala instead of doing everything we can to get someone like Kamala elected. Kamala and Tim, they have lived amazing lives. And I am confident that they will lead with compassion, inclusion, and grace. But they are still only human. They are not perfect. And like all of us, they will make mistakes. But luckily, y'all, this is not just on them. No, this is up to us, all of us, to be the solution that we seek. It's up to all of us to be the antidote to the darkness and division. Look, I don't care how you identify politically, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or none of the above, this is our time to stand up for what we know in our hearts is right. To stand up not just for our basic freedoms, but for decency and humanity, for basic respect, dignity, and empathy, for the values at the very foundation of this democracy. It's up to us to remember what Kamala's mother told her. Don't just sit around and complain. Do something. So if they lie about her, and they will, we've got to do something. If we see a bad poll, and we will, we got to put down that phone and do something. If we start feeling tired, if we start feeling that dread creeping back in, we got to pick ourselves up, throw water on our face, and what?
Do something.
We only have 2.5 months, y'all, to get this done. Only 11 weeks to make sure every single person we know is registered and has a voting plan. So we cannot afford for anyone America to sit on their hands and wait to be called. Don't complain if no one from the campaign has specifically reached out to you to ask you for your support. There is simply no time for that kind of foolishness. You know what you need to do. So, consider this to be your official ask. Michelle Obama is asking you, no, I'm telling y'all, to do something. This election is going to be close. In some states, just a handful, listen to me, a handful of votes in every precinct could decide the winner. So we need to vote in numbers that erase any doubt. We need to overwhelm any effort to suppress us. Our fate is in our hands. In 77 days, we have the power to turn our country away from the fear, division, and smallness of the past. We have the power to marry our hope with our action. We have the power to pay forward the love, sweat, and sacrifice of our mothers and fathers and all those who came before us. We did it before, y'all, and we sure can do it again. Let us work like our lives depend on it. And let us keep moving our country forward and go higher, yes, always higher than we've ever gone before as we elect the next President and Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Thank you all. God bless. One more job tonight. Yeah. one more job. You all, thank you for all the love, but it is now my honor to introduce somebody who knows a whole lot about hope. Someone who has spent his life strengthening our democracy, and let me tell you, as someone who lives with him, he wakes up every day, and thinks about what's best for this country. Please welcome America's 44th president and the love of my life, Barack Obama.